This is the Green Zone post-game show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson, and you, Rider Nation, here on a Saturday night as the Rough Riders victorious once again, 37-18, the final over the BC Lions, as the Riders are 4-0 to start the season. AJ Ouellette, for the first time in his career as a Saskatchewan Rough Rider, tops the century mark for rushing with 139 yards. Belton, as you said, he's going to eat, and he did. Actually, we all wanted to say he was going to eat, to be quite clear.
Man, that game started the way I thought it would, just with the running and everything, right? I don't know. I was trying to calculate, man, how many runs have they run? Every play I looked at, it was a run play, but rightfully so, right? BC, they're not that good on defense, you know, holding a run or anything. And, you know, hey, Tommy Stevens at the end there, like running the ball, Bertrand running the ball. That's the football I like right there, fella.
You're an offensive lineman. You got to run the football. Run, that's what you all think that.
Run the ball. Run. I was loving every second of that, man. Did you see those guys on skates back there for the BC Lions? And Ouellette, the way he was, that little inside zone play?
Ouellette talked about when he lost weight that he would have that extra, the second move. He said last year he only had the first move. Yeah. Now he's got that extra one because he's smaller and lighter and just as strong. Had a great game tonight, AJ Ouellette. We said that from the start, right? Jake Mayer's coming in to step in as a backup quarterback because Trevor Harris is hurt. In comes AJ Ouellette. And what do you have to do with a backup quarterback? You have to run the football effectively, and that's what the Rough Riders did. And that was really, in addition to some great defensive plays, but that was the real key to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders' victory today.
The Riders chewed up and ate up Jeremiah Masoli in that second half, who threw three picks. And, of course, the pick six to Campbell. Milligan almost had another one on a pick six. And then Antoine Brooks Jr. with a leaping interception as well. For the Riders. So at 37-18, it didn't feel like a beatdown, but it was a beat. Like in this, at the first half, it was like, oh my goodness, this is, but in the second half, it was a beatdown of the BC Lions for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Of course, we turn the show over to you on the fan line. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. You can give us a ring right now to give us your thoughts on a Riders victory to prove to 4-0 as they head into the bye week. But first, Daryl, Jake Mayer, what do you think of the backup quarterback for the Riders?
Let's see. How do we be polite? He didn't cost them the game. He may have not have won it for them, but he made a couple of boo-boos. It wasn't a great performance, but this team was good enough all around them that they could survive an okay performance from their backup quarterback. Were we expecting more? Well, you'd like to see more, and I'm sure the Rough Riders would, and I'm sure he would too. But it was good enough. Threw a nice ball, a couple of nice passes, to be honest. That one to Del Duncan Busby at the last touchdown was a beautiful throw at the end, and he hit a couple guys right in stride. But for the most part, he's not finding his receivers, and it looks like he's out of rhythm. He hasn't played that much, though, too, right? So there's not much rhythm. He wasn't great, but he wasn't so bad that he cost them a victory either.
That's what I thought. It was the rhythm and everything, right? He hadn't been in, and, you know, I remember the first shot he took was Robustelli down the side. That should have been a freaking touchdown, man.
If he would have thrown it on a little bit to the inside rather than the outside.
And to me, that's where some rust or something, right? It was a couple throws he overthrew, you know, pretty marginally, I thought. And, again, it just – he hasn't played a whole lot. Did they need him? I don't think so, to be honest with you. Just with
almost
the run
anybody
game,
could have played today,
I
right?
I think so.
Because the way Ouellette was running, and turn it over to Tommy Stevens to kill the clock at the end, right? Yeah. The running game won it for them, but Mayer didn't destroy anything for them. No. So, you know what? That's often what you need, at least from your backup quarterback. Just don't cost the team a victory, and he certainly didn't.
Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson, and let's get to the fan line. 1-877-332-8255. We go to Dallas. You get first billing tonight, Dallas. What are you thinking after the Riders put to bed the BC Lions?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, you guys. First of all, I want to give a huge shout-out to AJ Ouellette. The guy is a monster, a beast. and I know we've talked about him for the last couple of weeks here. I've even mentioned myself, like, does he have it? The, you know, Thomas Bertrand, Houdon, is he kind of the next guy? I have to give a huge shout-out to A.J. Ouellette. I'm so proud of the guy. Monster beast rushing. Amazing. But I have to echo what you guys were saying for, in terms of Jake Mayer. He's not the guy. I mean, I think this is almost a blessing in disguise because we got to see what Jake Mayer could do. Granted, he didn't cost us the game. Granted, he didn't throw any interceptions, but the guy is basically a rookie. And this is why Calgary released him. I mean, even if you look at the stats here, 13 of 23 for 170 yards. We go to BC. Jeremiah Mazzoli was 16 of 29 for 173. And then he was, replaced by Chase Bright. I mean, come on, like the guy, even there was one point in time at, I think it was some point in the third quarter where Jake Mayer, when they were doing the 2-point convert, the guy could have ran, like he was literally probably 3 yards away from the goal line to get the 2-point convert. And the guy just sat there and he threw it and then they missed. Like the guy, this is why Calgary released him, not impressed. So that was kind of a big thing. Now, the main thing I want to talk about, you guys, and Jamie, I have to echo our conversation that we had last week about this objectionable conduct here. This is why I say, and you guys, like any of your listeners out there, go back to the last week's post-game show because it's a great show, but I made the point that the refs are ridiculous when it comes to this. And Jamie, you made the point that, well, you know, I guess you want to give them both because then somebody doesn't get a free shot. But here we go, where in pretty well close to the end of the fourth, there was misconduct penalties against all of Saskatchewan. So my rebuttal to that would be, if you have penalties, like if you have somebody that knows they're going to get called, then you might as well just go and punch. If both of the opposing teams are going to get called, then just go punch away, like super punch out. You know, when you're punching Mike Tyson. You know, like you're
well, that's now an automatic ejection. Yeah. So yeah. Now you're getting kicked out.
Well, no, but like I'm not saying doing that. But like my whole point is I would rather nobody throw any of that. But what I'm saying is call it fair. Otherwise, if you're going to play this game like they played at almost the end of the fourth, then how is that fair when all of our teams for Saskatchewan got called and they're just going to call objectionable conduct on both? Like it was utterly ridiculous, and they need to revamp this, like I said last week, because otherwise then you're just, this is why this is people cause, because they knew we were going to get called. But anyway, thanks, gentlemen. I'll listen to the calls, and thanks for taking
Dallas, wait.
I'm here.
How's Brett Lawther tonight?
Well, okay, if I have a little bit of time, great, but guess what? Here, I'll tell you what, Daryl, you know what? Let's talk when he has three games where he actually does well. Congratulations to the guy. Let's wait until he goes three games where he does his job.
All right.
All right, Dallas. Have a good night. That's great there. I was thinking, where's his Brett Lawther takes? Come on.
And a correction. Calgary did not let Jake Mayer go. They traded him to Saskatchewan, right, for a draft pick or something. It wasn't much. Just to have a chance to sign him before anybody else did as a free agent, right? So
yes.
So, yeah, I'm kind of on the same page about the Jake Mayer. That's it. Hey, Belton, three letters, M-E-H, man. Yeah.
The emoji movie.
Yeah, emoji maybe, yeah.
Is that from the emoji movie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Meh.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. Sean, what are you thinking tonight with the Riders beating up on the Lions?
5 for 5 for Brett Lawther, 2 from 45+, and a 50.6 average for Joe Couch. That's pretty good this week. And Jake Mayer did what he had to do to win a game, because if it was Jake Delgala or Shea Patterson, it would have been the opposite way around.
That might be true.
Well, he protected turnovers.
No turnovers. That was the key. He didn't throw away the game for them, did he?
He didn't, but, you know, again, when I look at somebody like Jake Mayer, you know, starter for 40-some games, I guess that's why I picked 300-some yards passing, thinking he'd be the guy.
Are you still comfortable Jake is the backup going forward, Sean?
Absolutely, I am. And the only issue I have is when they were up this much, they should have had a cone in there just to get some live bullets thrown at them.
That's a good
only,
point.
Only complaint I
yeah.
Well, I have. I don't know where you're gonna. At what point would you have put him in?
Just to get some snaps.
But at what point?
Yeah, that's
because when they were closing the game, they wanted to run, so they had Tommy Stevens run it.
That's what would have put him in, probably. But Jack, but you know what? Jack Cohn maybe doesn't need as much time working with the offense as Jake Mayer does. Jake Mayer needs more time, and that's what.
Well, Jack's been in the system for 2 years.
Exactly, right? And that's what they talk about in Edmonton. Why don't you take out Trey Ford in a game that's lopsided? And Mark Killam, the head coach, says he needs to play.
Yeah.
And that's what I think Jake Mayer needs to play. I don't know if Trevor Harris is going to miss more games, but to keep him in probably helped a little bit too. So, yeah, it's a worthwhile debate. Cohn, do you put him in? You put in Stevens, or do you keep in Mayer? You know, any one of those would probably be worth a debate.
1-877-332-8255. As we say goodnight to Sean, that means you can hit redial right now here on the Green Zone post game show with the Riders winning 37-18. Bob in Saskatoon. Bob, what are you thinking tonight with a Rider victory?
Well, I think some people should eat some crow and lather. He got 5 field goals, whereas you predicted BC was going to get 5, so you knew someone was going to get 5, right?
Yeah, I guess I did say that. That is true. Yes,
and Ouellette had a real good game. I was impressed with him. I think you guys are being a little harder on Jake. I mean, we still were in the high 30s for final points, but the defense played an excellent all-around game for us, and that certainly helped with some points. And as I said last week, if we score first, I'm wondering whether we'll win, but we did anyway. We scored first, and we still won.
Mm-hmm. They don't know how to do that very often.
Looked a little bad on that first touchdown that BC got, but other than that, they came together and played as a strong team.
It's another rally for a victory, Bob, too, right? They've been behind in every game and come back to win it. This time it was only 7-6. But
yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. But the point is that they didn't sort of fall down and let them come back, except for the fighting at the end of the game, which I thought they should have put their hands in the air and walked away when they're up that bar and just let the other team do what they want to do. I know Belton would maybe disagree with me on that. If someone pushes you a little too hard the wrong way, you're apt to get the testosterone going and give a slap back too. But
that was something was going on in the bottom of that scrum that pissed off the Riders. I'll tell you that.
Well,
because the way they came up,
I played football when I was in high school, and there was a little more went on than you dared to admit. But I think though too, when you're on the Green Zone talking about the rec laws, my name should be mentioned once in a while. I think my name should be on the board. I want to hear you do that.
So every time we talk about the rec, I'll try to keep you in mind, Bob.
Exactly.
They're playing the Queen City X, by the way, in Regina in a couple of weeks.
Well, I'm in Saskatoon, so unfortunately,
you should come down and watch them. And you should have to pay the royalties that we have to pay to when we play their songs.
Well, I get the royalties of hearing Belton sing.
Yeah, there we go. That is Bob's victory song, as it is another victory for the Riders. 37-18, the final. 4-0 is the record as the Riders remain undefeated. 1-877-332-8255. That line is now open. We'll get to Chad, David, and more of your calls next on the Green Zone postgame show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. This is the Green Zone postgame show with Jamie Nye, Canadian Football Hall of Fame reporter Daryl Davis, Grey Cup champion Belton Johnson, as the Riders beat the BC Lions 37-18 in a battle of the backups. Jake Mayer, 170 yards passing and a touchdown, but it was A.J. Ouellette running the ball, 139 yards and a touchdown, leading the Riders' way, as well was the defense. 3 interceptions on Jeremiah Masoli, including Tavon Campbell's. A pick 6 in the second quarter. That was a A big, big swing as the BC Lions were probably looking at a 10-6 lead at the half. But right now, 10-9 lead at the half. But let's go back to the fan line here on the Green Zone. And I believe Chad in Regina Beach is the next. Chad, what are you thinking tonight with the Riders' victory?
Oh, I texted you and I thought, two words, hot garbage that game was. I never watched a more unentertaining game in my life. That is just awful, awful football tonight. The Riders are going to win the Grey Cup. The only positive I could say is I don't like Jake Mayer. He is meh, like Daryl said, but at least we don't have Jeremiah Masoli as our backup because he's even worse. That guy does not belong playing football. That pick six at the end of the second. That game is right for BC to take that game. If Nathan Rourke's playing, BC beats us in that game easily. We were right for the picking in that game because if BC had a lead, Jake Mayer is not going to orchestrate a drive to win a game. We got two offensive touchdowns, one on a interception where you have to drive 11 yards to get the one. And the other one is aided by a phantom horse collar tackle and a 2-yard generous spot on second and long. Both times the defense is supposed to be off the field. The one drive they had that's more than 10 yards is aided by two terrible calls. So our offense really didn't score nothing. But thank God Jeremiah Masoli's playing for the other team because I don't know. Jake Dolagala.
Well, Chad, let's be honest. Let's be fair. The offense didn't do nothing. AJ Allette ran for 136 yards tonight. That offense on the ground was performing very well running the football. You can pick and choose all your penalties you want, Chad, but you don't come out a 37-18 game and go, yeah, they just got lucky. That defense, okay. That's what happens. That's football. Jeremiah Masoli sucked. Now, again, is this team good enough to beat the elite teams in the CFL? I don't know. They might be the best in the Canadian Football League early this season. So I'm not going to go on luck. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to go there on fan horse collar. He grabbed him in the back. They saw it. They called it. You move it along. Generous spots. I'm not going to nickel and dime spots in the Canadian Football League. You're just picking and choosing to tear this team down a little bit, Chad. On a night they scored 37 points. Their defense plays well. AJ Allette runs the ball. Jake Mayer was, yes, meh. You're right. Jeremiah Masoli should have been benched at the half after that pick six.
Yeah.
Why they didn't go to Bryce, I have no idea. Jeremiah Masoli, sorry, great teammate, great guy. What happened to him here a few years ago was awful, but he is awful. At right now, and it's time to move on from Jeremiah Masoli for the BC Lions.
Yeah, there's no sense having him play anymore. He's proven in a couple of games that he can't. The Riders, without their offensive touchdowns today, still win, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Five field goals and a pick six by Tavon Campbell. Yeah. So there's five drives they didn't finish. So Mayer wasn't that great, but once again, good enough, right? It's just he didn't hurt them the way. Chad's point is very valid, that at least it wasn't Jeremiah Masoli playing for the Saskatchewan
And I liked how the defense, right? They, have been giving up big plays, like chunks, right?
Yeah.
I don't think I hardly saw any of that tonight.
Not much, yeah. And that's that I type didn't. Of offense, right? When they got Hatcher and Katoy, you expect some big ones.
Some big ones,
Butler
yeah.
had a great game. Butler played very well.
He did. Running game came to life for them. Yeah. And they did an inside zone, too. A lot there.
123 Butler. Yards for Butler on the ground tonight. And that's very rare.
Pass. Yeah, caught some passes too, right? So,
but because they didn't have as many big plays in the back end, did they substitute that by, playing better in the back end and allowed a few rushing up front, or was it the scheme? Or, I don't know. It looked like something. They had an inside zone trap because they got on Thurman a couple times there, right?
Well, the guy who graded out top defensive lineman of the week didn't play this week. Caleb Sanders was taken out because of ratio reasons. Yeah. Maybe you're missing him on the rotation, having to put Saad in there a little bit more than Sanders down
drive,
the middle.
Yeah, that one drive had Saad in the middle, and that's when they were running pretty well up the middle against with Butler. So, they seem to suffer a little bit on that rotation, but they like to keep their guys fresh. Despite all the changes they made to the roster, they still got 9 defensive linemen on the roster.
Okay, let's go back to the fan line. David, what do you got for us tonight?
Hi, guys. Yeah, that was a good game, I guess. Like Belton was saying, that was a good old Southern beatdown, I think.
Especially in the second half.
Yeah, but as far as Jake goes, he didn't have a great game, but, you know, I'm not going to get all over him. He's the backup quarterback, and that's what he is. You know, I'd be worried if they come out of camp saying Jake's your starting quarterback. That would worry me, but I think he's a pretty good backup. He did what he had to do, so I'm happy with that. And run game, AJ, hats off to him and the offensive line. That was just a great game by them, both big holes, and AJ was running hard, and defense had a great game. But you guys were talking there about, I just got a question here, then I'll hang up and you can answer it if you can or not. But when the rosters come out and I seen Sanders not on it, I was, whoa. I mean, don't get me wrong, Brooks had a great game. He was flying all over and probably deserves to be on the roster. But I really think that giving up those 100 and some running yards, you got a 37-year-old Mike in there who needs his plays off. You got a rookie in Saad and Rose. That's all you had for the 3 defensive tackles. And I think they were probably getting a little tired because then they didn't have Sanders in there. And he's a difference maker when he does play. So I was kind of surprised that they sat him and played Brooks. Now, just my question, did someone get hurt in the secondary? Because I seen Brooks played quite a bit in the second half there, and he had that beautiful interception, and he was playing later too. So, but I didn't notice anyone going out.
Devon Campbell went out.
Oh, but he came back, Devon Campbell, didn't he?
Yeah.
He went out for a few plays, but he was back in there. I was just wondering, I didn't notice Fields a lot in the second half. Was Brooks playing for him, or maybe he was just an extra DB, maybe, and they were playing maybe 6 DBs, I don't know.
Yeah, Sales made a big play late in the fourth quarter too, though, so I think they just wanted Brooks in. They probably spelled him in. Yeah. You know what? That's when we kind of walk out of the stadium on our way back to the studio, so we might have missed a minute or so of the game. So I didn't. Yeah. I'm not sure if they.
I didn't. Outside of Campbell, I didn't see any other DB go down.
Either. That's why I was wondering. But I know Brooks was playing quite a bit in the fourth quarter and stuff. But like I said,
that might have been a blowout. That might have been a blowout decision by coach, because coach told. I asked him about Brooks before the game, David, and he gave a rave review on who he is as a teammate and everything else. So that might have been a late in the game garbage time. Hey, CJ Revis.
Yeah.
Take a seat. We're going to put Brooks in or somebody and get him a little defensive time. And then he goes out and has a diving interception. But we'll have to wait a little bit because it's a bye week. We won't get an injury report for over a week from now when they get set for the Calgary Stampeders. But, David, thanks for the call. That line's open. You can hit redial 1-877-332-8255 here on the Green Zone postgame show. Les, thanks for your patience tonight. What are you thinking as the Riders go to 4-0?
Ooh, doggy. I'll take that one, boys. 4-0, that's nice to hear. Ouellette, what an awesome game he had. Mark Mueller played that play calling just nice for tonight, especially with Jake back there. I never did like the guy. I said we should have never got him, and I still stick with that, and that's as far as I'll go with that one. All the boys, like Brooks and Campbell and them, they had awesome, good defense. Interceptions, that saved us big time. Lothar, nice. He come close once. But it went through the pins, and that's all that counts. And you could see his confidence picking up throughout the game. But he didn't let anything go for granted on that tonight, and he was concentrating hard. You could see that. And, yeah, well-played game. I don't know. The offense, like as far as when Jake was throwing, he was off, like, at what, 50% of completions, maybe. Yeah, and Mark Mueller, when he was calling, he knew Jake wasn't good at that, I think, the way that he run that game. And that was a smart move. And that defense of BC's, they were out there for 30-some minutes throughout the whole game. That they were tired and injured. So, yeah, well-played game. And we got next week off, I believe, so a well-deserved time off.
Thanks, Les. And great point, by the way. I didn't even look at the time of possession until Les mentioned it. Goodness gracious. Riders won the time of possession today. 38-35 to 21-25.
More than one quarter.
Oh, my goodness.
Difference, right? So,
well noted, Les. Well noted.
It was the third quarter.
Yeah, that was one.
They had the ball, and they drove it. I'm like, man, it was like, about a 7-minute drive there, I believe.
It was. Yeah, 7.5 minutes.
I couldn't believe that, man.
7:51.
I'm like, okay, well, just keep
pounding. 10 plays, 69 yards.
Keep pounding the ball.
10 plays, 69 yards in 7.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was right after the Tavon Campbell interception. Closed the
that's
first,
right.
For a touchdown that closed the first.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that's the deciding right there. That's when the game totally became Saskatchewan.
Yep.
And then they had another drive in the fourth quarter. Ended in a punt, but it was 8 plays, 43. They took another 5 minutes off the clock on that one, too. Yeah. So. Yeah, you could tell the BC Lions were starting to go down.
Okay. They were.
And that's what Jake Meyer. Okay, let's give him some credit for that then, right? That third quarter, like you talk about, that was the difference. He didn't give away the football in that third quarter, and that's when Saskatchewan took control of the game. So give him some credit. He wasn't outstanding, but he took over control of the game in the third quarter for the Rough Riders.
We're going to have to take another quick timeout. The lines are full. Thanks for your patience. We'll get right back at it here on the Green Zone post-game show, including our play of the game, which probably won't be a surprise which play that is next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Maybe it made you. It might have made you. Maybe just made you.
Come on!
It's time for the play of the game.
All right, Daryl Davis.
Tough one today, guys.
A tough one for the play of the game?
No, play of the game, no. Easy one. The Riders are winning 9-7 late in the second quarter, and Jeremiah Mazzoli shows that there's not much left in the old tank. Threw a pass he shouldn't have thrown. Tavon Campbell, as soon as he grabbed it, everybody in the press box said, well, pick six, because who's going to catch Tavon Campbell? Yeah. He's one of the fastest guys in the Canadian Football League. 89 yards for an interception return for a touchdown. Puts the Rider with the convert. Brett Lawther didn't miss any converts, didn't miss any field goals. Puts them ahead 16-7, and then the Riders took over again, totally in the third quarter. That's the play of the game, the pick six by Tavon Campbell.
Yeah, it was
a play. Good pick.
It was probably gonna be 10-9 at the half for the BC Lions.
Yeah.
What a bad throw by Jeremiah Masoli.
And that was to the wide side, right?
Yeah. And then once Tavon Campbell gets his hands on the ball, good luck catching that guy.
Yep. Yeah. Not many guys can
played by Campbell. Yeah. Played.
Yeah. Well, we were talking the pregame show, remember? We said that it looks like he's getting better. He's getting his angles, he's figuring things out again. He's coming back to the wider CFL field. So he's turned into a pretty decent one. I wouldn't challenge him very much, and I think, Jeremiah Mazzoli, I don't know if he'll get another chance to challenge him ever, but a lot of quarterbacks are going to be staying away from Tavon Campbell, too, now.
Yeah. Okay, let's go back to the fan line, 1-877-332-8255. Keith in Saskatoon. Keith, go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. It's great to be heading back on Highway 11 after witnessing I would say one of the loudest stadium games that I've heard in a long time at Mosaic. I've got four quick points that I want to rattle through, but just before I go, before the points, I know a lot of people are really rough on Jake Marin. I get it. He wasn't the second coming of Kent Austin tonight, But folks, would you rather have him or Tino Sensori? Like, we've had a lot of backups who have not done nearly as well in the position. So at least, again, Mayer managed the game successfully. Again, four quick points. Number one, what really disturbed me in the game was the lack of discipline. Again, Jaden Dahl, he took a penalty. The shenanigans towards the end of the game. I think what really frustrates me is I was always taught when you lose, say little, and you win, say less. And it's like the spirit of Nick Marshall and Ed Gainey and Lucas Purifoy still lingers in this locker room. And I really hope it doesn't cost us late in the season, but I didn't like seeing the shenanigans. Number two, you're talking about Devon Campbell. Our season tickets are right behind the Ryder bench. And after he had the pass breakup and he was taken off the field, I think there must have been a concussion protocol. But I'll just sound a bit of a warning signal here. We're getting dangerously close on our Canadian depth with injuries. We've lost KSB for a while. Emelis is out. McEwen is out. Gagnon was our sixth O-lineman. He's out for a long time. If we start losing Campbell and other players, again, I really worry about that Canadian depth. Point number three, I've been highly critical so far this season of Nelson Lacombo. He's retreating backwards on every play. I said, I've never seen that much backpedaling as in like a Mark Carney press conference. But what was really good tonight was the play that he made on Keon Hatcher. And again, I know I've really given him in a bad way, but thank goodness Lacombo came up and did really well in that play. And my unsung hero tonight goes to a guy that probably isn't going to be mentioned at all, but it's Jackson Ford. Jackson Ford was playing the game with a club on his right hand. And to watch him run down the field in special teams, making tackles, diving for people, for a fan of the Rider Nation who grew up as a young boy seeing Ford 21 in green and white in the late 60s and early 70s, it's really cool to see Ford 21 again on the field to the green and white. Again, go Riders. I love that we're 4-0. It doesn't happen very often. Let's take it while we can. Go for a bye week and be back against Calgary.
Keith, thanks for the call. Oh, well, state Jackson Ford, number 21. You remember those days,
yes,
too,
I do.
Darryl.
And one of his teammates was Ron Atchison, if everybody, a Hall of Famer.
With the club.
And we talk about, I was talking to Al Ford the other day about Atch wearing that big club on his, he had a huge cast, and Belton, it was real hard plaster back then. He always said he had an injured or a broken arm, but most of the time Ron Atchison, who's one of the great defensive players on this team through the 60s, would just smack people around with it. They tried to cover it up with padding and everything, and he'd still be clubbing guys all over the place. So it's kind of cool that Al Ford's former teammate and his grandson are both wear clubs on their hands. To his point about Canadians too, they might have lost Thomas Bertrand Hudon tonight, right?
It looks like he might have re-aggravated that groin injury that kept him out of the lineup, because he was just running straight ahead on special teams, and then saw him.
They helped, and then he had to get off at the end, right? So losing him, they've done a pretty good job in Canadians, but there's only so many in the cupboard, so they might have to juggle around a little bit to find space for everybody.
Good thing for the bye week here.
Yes.
Good point. Good timing on the bye week.
This schedule for the Riders is as good as you want. The bye weeks are evened out through the year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, you remember, there was like one early, and then they had a stretch of 11 or 12 games, and then they had two bye weeks in 4 weeks.
Yep.
You'd rather have play four, bye week. I think they play another four, bye week, five, bye week, and then it's the last couple of games until the playoffs. And might be a battle with the Bombers to see who gets that bye week for the West final.
It's looking that way, isn't it? The power in the West still resides in Winnipeg, but is a team that's certainly capable of challenging them, isn't it?
They're capable, but I'm like you, Darryl. I think the Bombers are the measuring stick.
Put Zach Kolaris back in their lineup. Hey, Belton, and they're a real force,
scary,
aren't they?
Okay, let's go back to the fan line. That line's open. Keith, always appreciate your time here on the Green Zone post-game show. I'm just seeing Terry is the next. Terry, what do you got for us on this Saturday night with the Riders' victory?
Well, I was really happy. Pretty impressive win. AJ played a heck of a game. The defense was good. Even the punter, he's been not that great this year. He had a heck of a game as well.
Well, what did
one bad one? They said somebody said he averaged 50 yards tonight, 50.6.
Well, that one was bounding into the end zone. That helped his cause for the 77 yarder, but the net brought it out. But 50 yards punting, 48 yard net.
pretty decent. That's one really short good. One. He had one 32 or a short yardage one, I think, somewhere along the line. But for the most part, pretty good. And how did he hold tonight? Did you notice it looked like a little bit better rhythm tonight? They worked on that a lot because part of the reason for Brett, even though they didn't admit it, Brett Lawther's kicking problems, getting used to the punt. Joe Couch as the punter and the holder. Mm-hmm. So they looked pretty snappy tonight. I have to say that they've worked on it, and it looked like they were in rhythm for the entire game.
Terry, what do you think of the – Yeah, Terry, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say the two things I wasn't happy with was the undisciplined. Like, against good teams, you can't get away with stuff like that. Even if you're, you had a big lead, but still, there's no reason for getting involved. You're up by 24 points, and you guys we're the ones instigating the fracas, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And what was the other point you wanted to make?
The hurry up offense. That we got to fix that. I don't know, like. BC was making it look way too easy.
Oh, when they went no huddle.
Yeah, when BC went no huddle, it's just like it was, why don't the riders, I don't know, everybody does it, fake an injury, take a knee, you know? You got 8D linemen dressed.
Yeah, they could rotate them because you have to miss three plays if
take the knee, right?
Teams used to have a get-down drive.
To Terry's point, that drive, when they went down, and that was when they had the illegal procedure at the one, brought it back to the six, and why they kicked a field goal, I have no idea. Let's make a 16-point game, a 13-point game, and still need two touchdowns. That makes sense, Buck. Those little things rookie coaches have to learn. Uh-huh. Yeah, Mike Rose got subbed out, and he was on a knee on the sideline. I thought they were going to have to bring an oxygen tank over on that one.
So, and see, to me, when teams do that, they probably see something, right? And the BC Lions obviously saw something because even when they ran that no huddle, I think I looked down just for a couple seconds talking to somebody in the alumni lounge. I'm like, holy cow, like, they're like, oh man, they're no huddle. They're moving here, guys. Like, and that's a good change of pace. I would love to see the Riders offense do a no huddle just to change the pace, because then you got to get the D linemen really running and moving around, right?
True, but they didn't do a bad job of possession football tonight. We talked about having the ball for 16, 17 minutes more. Mm-hmm. What they caught the no huddle though, or the BC was running that no huddle when Sad was in instead of Rose, right? So they caught them with the rookie part of the rotation on the interior. And we talked about the only three interior linemen they had were the two veterans in Johnson and Rose, and Ali Sad, who's a draft pick, who's still learning a little bit. Sure, he's getting better, but he's, and I think that they were really trying to exploit that because Butler ran very effectively on that quick drive.
All right, let's go to Deanna next. Terry, thanks for the call. That line is now open. Deanna's joining us, Kyle, Saskatchewan. Deanna, what are you thinking with the Riders' 4-0 start to the season?
Great game. I want to make note of Trevor Harris. Like to see him on the sidelines, helping out, coaching a little bit maybe with our new quarterback. And all that looks amazing.
Mm-hmm. That looks like a brand, looks like the guy we saw in Toronto, right, Deanna?
Yep. Yeah. He's done really well all winter to come out and looking good.
Good point, Deanna. I did see him helping Jake Mayer quite a bit. Trevor Harris was there helping and talking to him all the time and calming him down a little bit. I also saw Trevor Harris do a really good thing, and he held up Ken Schaefer Baker in his little dance moves at the third quarter break, right? Wasn't that Trevor Harris holding him up?
Yeah, it was.
I didn't see that.
Well, at the third quarter stretch, Kian Schaefer Baker started dancing, but he's got the cart for his foot.
I knew he had the cart.
And so he was trying to dance while Trevor Harris was trying to keep him on balance. And I'm like, this is a work safe Saskatchewan thing. I don't know if that's entirely safe. Mm-hmm. For Kian Schaefer Baker.
Jake Mayer has talked a lot about how much Trevor Harris has helped them this year. And Corey Mesa head coach talked about it in the pregame too, how much they've helped each other. So that's a great point that Trevor Harris is a supporter, a team first guy supporting. There's a lot of quarterbacks sometimes who won't help their backups because they're worried about losing their job. Yeah. Trevor Harris has often said, I'm just here to make this team as good as I can. If they replace me with somebody who makes the team better, I totally understand. So he's helping his backup get better.
Well, his garbage bag day speech, right?
Yes. Yeah.
He said, if I am not the best option for this team, I don't want to be here. Yeah. And that's not that I don't want to be here. I don't want to get in the way of this organization to move their program forward.
Yep.
As much as he did want to be here, and he is, this is his final year of his contract, and we'll see where the season takes us first before we even go down that road. 1-877-332-8255. Another quick timeout here on the Green Zone post-game show. Deanna, thanks for the call. You can hit redial now. That's another line open with the Riders, 37, Lions 18, and a 4-0 start for the Green and White. This is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. This is the Green Zone post-game show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson, as the Riders improved to 4-0 with a 37-18 win over the BC Lions. We're taking your calls on this Saturday night of the Canada Day long weekend. How are you feeling about the Riders? Not only Jake Mayer tonight, the defense, the 4-0 start, AJ Ouellette, the good, the bad, the otherwise. What say you at 1-877-332-8255 as we go to Dave is next. Dave, what are you thinking tonight after another Rider win?
I'll make three really quick points, but first, out here, I think I lost my Saskatchewan Rough Rider jersey on the Okanagan Lake tonight. So if you guys find it, can you let me know? But I'll get to what I need to say. Belton, you got to stop giving us these recipes, man, because all I do is cook, and I can't focus on sports. Like, you're driving me nuts, man.
Those shrimp tacos sounded great, didn't they, Dave?
I love you, man. You know that, but, man. I actually just wanted to point out something really important, is that I'm not going to bring in what's going on in Sportsnet talk, but I'm just going to bring in the fact that there's been talk about an attendance problem in the Canadian Football League, and I just wanted to get you guys a 2 cents on the fact that tonight in our beloved Saskatchewan, attendance was pretty good. So I just want you guys to put your 2 cents in on that. And have a great long weekend, guys.
Yep.
And my birthday is next weekend. It's a bye week. That sucks. So I'll have to talk to you in like 10 days.
All right, Dave.
Love you guys.
Have a great birthday. Always appreciate your calls from West Kelowna. Good luck with the jersey on the Okanagan. Hopefully
couple of wineries right by them.
Yeah.
Two of the wineries maybe.
Isn't there Ogo Pogo? Might have grabbed that one.
Yeah, it could be. He's green, I think, isn't he? I don't know. What color is he? I haven't seen him.
I haven't seen him lately. 1-877-332-8255. So we have Dave missed a jersey, shrimp tacos. Too bad, Dave. We're going to still give you the attendance. 27,804. We got two attendances tonight. Yes, we found out something. It was interesting.
What you mean, two?
They announced in the press box right after kickoff, they announced 27,701. And then they went, wait, we're going to have another attendance. We announced that one too early because there's still people in the ticket office.
Mm.
Because that was like right near the start of the game when they announced it. So that was at kickoff. So another 103 people bought tickets in lineups at the ticket office, apparently, to get into the game. And that's what Craig Reynolds said at the AGM, which they're seeing more and more people like, let's check the weather. Let's check what we're doing. Let's do that. And then go to the game last minute and buy a ticket and go.
Yeah.
So it was interesting that it was up 100 kickoff until the halftime when they announced.
It's great that they're selling. He says they're selling more single game tickets all the time. But as you say, and as you pointed out, as Craig Reynolds did, they're vulnerable that way, right? Because if it is a bad weather game or
the Riders. See what happened in Calgary
the other day. Exactly, right? You just get nobody out to the games. They decide they're not going to go. But this way, the Riders are playing well. Yep. It looked like the clouds were staying away. So these people walk out. And they've also got, remember, that, like, they announced 27804, but there's not that many people in the building. Who knows how many freebies?
But that lower bowl was.
Yes, it was. As you pointed out, the north end zone where
the cheaper
cheap seats.
Tickets?
Yeah, but those are rush seats. People showing up. I'm never going to criticize anybody who wants to go and buy the seats wherever you want them.
That's
and
where our season tickets are.
They're great. It's great fun. Yeah. It's a great sight lines. There's not many bad sight lines in there. Okay. Hill Country is almost always full. It looked a little goofy, as it always does in there. But it's a decent crowd, and I think these crowds are going to get bigger and bigger the way this season's going. If they keep winning football games, you know how everybody jumps on this bandwagon. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, yeah, you got the Winnipeg Blue Bomber fans who just annoying the heck out of me on social media with their braggadocious, oh, look at all our sellouts. Where are you at, Rider Nation? You've been to 5 straight Grey Cups. If you're not selling out that barn, you're pathetic in a population of 700,000 people. Regina area has 300,000. We are half the population of Winnipeg, and we're getting almost the same amount of fans to the games.
Yeah.
And, by the way, when the Riders were going, what did they have, 30 straight sellouts? How is it going in Winnipeg? Thank you. Winning helps, and now the Riders are winning. So I think we'll see more and more of a boost because, hey, it sucked going to games. When the team sucked at football.
Yeah.
And but it's a lot more fun when you go and it's like, yeah, there's probably a 75% chance they're going to win this thing.
Well, all you ever want is a chance, right?
And don't forget, right? The one caller stated how loud it was in there today, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's only going to get louder, I think, you know, if more folks keep coming.
1-877-332-8255. That is the fan line to give us a ring. Ken, you're next to what's on your mind tonight on the post game show.
Play calling. First half, we're close to the end zone there, and I'm talking to my son, and I'm going, okay, now is the time for a play that was really big in Belton today. It's kind of a secret thing called play action. That's how you really help a quarterback when your run game is working well. Instead, they do a go to throw it. It's a shotgun, wind up with a sack, and we kick a field goal. I couldn't count any play action the entire game. This was a perfect game to pull that out and help your struggling quarterback. That's what it does. It really helps you out. So if we don't have that in our arsenal, that's kind of going to be tough against some of the stronger defenses.
Well, they definitely have play action in their arsenal. There's
more RPOs, though. It's a lot more run-pass options, right? Well, they didn't use it that much.
The one play that I really liked, that wasn't a play action or anything, but when Stevens had the ball, right? He faked it to Ouellette.
And then Ouellette ran through and blocked
it. Lead blocking. I thought that was...
That was old school, high school option plays right there.
That was a great play, man. And he was getting yards, right?
He ran it about 6 times.
Yeah. Like... It's still early in the season. I still think there's plays out there that we're going to be looking at like, holy cow, what a play that is, right? Like, they still got to build on things.
And play action wasn't as necessary tonight either because they didn't want to throw the football as much. They wanted to run it. So your first option in a play action is to hand off the football. Most of the time you're giving it to A.J. Ouellette because you want him to carry it. And he did a great job. So why would you fake a handoff to A.J. Ouellette and then throw it to somebody when A.J. Ouellette's getting your first downs? He reeled off some big chunk and drives runs tonight. So I think that when we're looking for play action, I think more Trevor Harris will use it more when they need to throw the football because that's when it's more effective.
Ken, thanks for the call. That is a line open. Hit redial now. We do have to take a quick timeout. Corey Mace, Jake Mayer, and more coming back from Mosaic Stadium, but there's still callers on the line. Of course, callers rule. Well, that's why we're the home of the fans here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.